Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, How the Devil Wages War Against Christians and How to Fight Back.
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Last week we talked about the only two kingdoms that there are in the world. What are they? The kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the devil. We saw last week in 1 John 3, verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil, to conquer his kingdom, to conquer him. And I'll tell you, Jesus has come and he's done that very thing. He has conquered the devil and he's rescued us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into his own kingdom of light. He's paid our ransom price. He has beaten the devil at the cross. He was buried. He rose on the third day, and he rose to liberate men through the preaching of the gospel. Everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord, Jesus, now is saved and becomes part of Christ's kingdom, having been transferred from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. So the great battle has already been fought and won for us by Christ. He's conquered the devil and set us free. What I'd like to talk with you about today is, does that mean that the battle is over for us and that the war is finished? What do you think? No, says Lauren. Once we are set free by Christ's mighty work at the cross and in his resurrection, and we become Christians and part of Christ's kingdom, the battle only just starts for us. We are called to take part now in the great battles against the evil one. And why is that? You know what the answer is? Because the devil is a sore loser. Once he's lost you from his kingdom and you come into the kingdom of Christ and Christ arms you to now go out and fight against the evil one and push back his kingdom even more in the world by rescuing souls and living for Christ, well, then the devil comes after the one he has lost with a ferocious fury. Peter says he's like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So we are, as Christians, called to resist him, firm in our faith, standing toe-to-toe and waging war and fighting the battles against him. Because as a Christian, as long as we're in this world, we're in enemy-occupied territory until we attain our heavenly country above. So let's take a look today at what it means to be in this great conflict. What are the details of the devil's tactics and schemes against us? And how can we fight back against him until we come to final victory at the end? How the devil wages war against Christians and how are we to fight back is our message today. All right, so what can we say? First of all, let's understand our adversary, the devil, a little more. Who he is, where does he come from, and what's he like? When's the first time we meet the devil in the Bible? Genesis 3, right there at the beginning. Let's read that, just the first part of that sentence. The Holy Spirit records this for us. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other wild creature that the Lord God had made. So that's the devil. What is the very first noun that the Holy Spirit uses to describe the devil in Scripture? Serpent, which is in the Hebrew, it's the word, is Nahash, serpent, snake, or dragon. What's the first adjective to describe him? He was more subtle than any other. Narum in the Hebrew, which means more crafty, more wily, more shrewd, more wise, more cunning. In other words, he's able to deceive with deadly deceptions more than anyone else. Martin Luther said, if the devil is a snake, know that he is always twisted. Because Luther said, if you look at a snake, whether he's on the move, or he's sleeping, or he's inactive, or he's active, he's always crooked, isn't he? That snake is always crooked. Luther said, the only straight snake is a dead snake. And the devil is always crooked and twisted in absolutely everything he does. whether he's quietly lying in wait, he's never sleeping, or whether he's actively on the move, he is always crooked in everything he does. Jesus said he's a murderer from the beginning, who has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. So combine murderer and liar. What do you get? What do you get? Is that he kills you with his words, right? By his lies and deceptions. He is the reservoir, if you will, of every brook, stream, and river of crooked deceit that there is in the world. Every lie actually has as its ultimate origin him. He is a snake. So what comes out of his lips is liquid poison of a venomous viper, an evil snake. He seeks to kill us with his words. Okay, that's his weapon. And he's a stealthy murderer. You know, do you ever meet snakes out there in the woods or by our house, by our church here? The moment you see, yes, Steve, we call him Steve, the snake out here. Anytime you see the snake, if he sees that you see him, he vanishes in a second. He disappears. The devil is like that. He's a stealthy murderer. Namely, he almost never lets you see him. He wants you not to believe in him. He wants to hit you when you're not even thinking about him. He hits from the invisible, and if you do see him for a moment, he vanishes like the blink of an eye. You don't know where he went. He's hard to track, in other words. Where does the devil come from? Well, we can look here in the scripture. I take Ezekiel 28 to be of the devil, because we read there, it says, you were in Eden, in the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, God says. With an anointed guardian cherub, I placed you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence. You sinned. I cast you forth as a profaned thing from the mountain of God. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. The guardian cherub drove you out from the midst of the stones of fire. So he is a fantastic angelic creature that had great beauty, but he committed cosmic treason against God, even leading a third of the angels into rebellion against God with him, Revelation 12 says. And he is a mad, crazy, insane serial killer. That's the way you could think of him. Is he really crazy? The devil's very wise. But he is so deceptive, he's deceived himself. He overestimates himself. But you have to be crazy to think you're going to take on the living God and win. He is a diabolical great dragon. Revelation 12, he's the great dragon, which means he has great power. Indeed, we read the whole world is in the power of the evil one, 1 John 5 says. He is that called that ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan. So he's ancient from of old. He is called the devil, which means diabolos in the Greek, which means accuser. He only and ever speaks evil of you. He's a slanderer. He is Satan, which is shaitan, which means adversary. The one who stands against you in the way to oppose you, to keep you from going forward, your enemy. And we know that in heaven, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels, the rebellious ones, fought. But they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon, that ancient serpent, was thrown down, the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down where? To the earth. And his angels were thrown down with him. So where's the devil roaming about now, seeking someone to devour? Here. Answer, where we live. In the earth, in the ethereal, in the air of this world. And it says he has come down to you in great wrath because he knows that his time is short. Think about that. He is a wounded beast, furious, lashing out this way and that because he knows he has only a little time before Christ gives him the final death blow. So he tries to throw his tail around and breathe his fire and bellow his smoke everywhere he can to create as much devastation and destruction as he can. He still deceives himself that he can war against Christ, but he loses. Therefore, he wars against Christians, the people of Christ's kingdom, to trouble us at every turn. that at the very least he keeps us from going forward mightily, and at best he hopes maybe I can capture them again and bring them back to my kingdom of darkness, throw them in my prison that they be doomed with me at the coming judgment of God. So now he is in the open. Now he is in the shadows. He roars at us from center stage, and at times he whispers to us evil whisperings from the dark in the wings from the side of the stage. What an enemy he is. He is very formidable. Don't underestimate the devil. Next, though, should we fear him? Should we be afraid in this fight? Should we die of fright at looking at this great creature against us? The Bible says, no way, not at all, no sir. Because you are Christians, you are saved. A mighty fortress is our God. And little children, you've overcome them, says John, for he who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Think about that. You're more than conquerors through him who loved you. Christ has set you free to be his own. At our head is a greater king. You are part of a greater army, and you have greater weapons with which to fight. You have God's own sword, his spirit of his word, the sword of the spirit, and greater battle armor. And we have the same spirit now who was in David, the Holy Spirit, who when Goliath came against him and roared, David said, you come to me with a sword and spear and javelin, Goliath, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head, that all the earth may then know that there's a God in Israel, and that the Lord delivers, not by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. That's the spirit that we have in fighting against the devil. So don't be afraid of him. Don't overestimate him. But don't underestimate him either, for he is still a very deadly foe. So let's consider next. How does the devil attack us Christians? How does he wage his war against us, God's people? And how are we to fight back? Well, in the Bible, God makes it very clear what the devil's chief aim is with us. Let's take a look again at Genesis 3, and we'll see it very clearly there, what his strategy always, always is and what the battle's about. Now the serpent was more subtle, wily than any other creature the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say? He has to be British, right? You shall not eat of any tree of the garden. He whispers, he speaks to the woman, and then she engages in a conversation with the devil, and before you know it, she is done for, and he slew her. What is his chief aim? And his aim in every attack he does against us, no matter what stripe or kind it comes in and color, it's always about one thing. What is it? What?
Deception.
Deception for what purpose? What's he trying to strike from your hand? Did God really say? Did God really say that? Are you going to hold fast to what? To the word of God. That's what he's always after, to cast doubt upon the word of God, that we drop that sword. For we read in the New Testament that we're waging war, says Paul, contending not against humans, flesh and blood, but against principalities, princes, powers, world rulers of the present darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, high-ranking demons, or even low-ranking demons. The devil himself. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you can withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And what is the chief part of that armor? It's all the word of God, every part of it. But the offensive weapon is the sword. Do I have a sword? Can you say, do I have a sword for you? Yes. Of course there's a sword. I've used this many times. If you're new to our church, I use it every four sermons. Don't worry about it. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, is the word of God. That's what we've got to fight with. It's the only weapon that defeats the dragon. But then the devil has a sword too, the words of his lips, which are deceit and lies of every kind, and they clash. What does he want to do in the battle? Drop your sword and come at me with anything but that one, and I will slay you with mine, says the devil. We are no match. Listen, no match for the devil going on our own instinct, our own wisdom, our own understanding, our own insight. We can't debate it with him. We shouldn't have a discussion. We shouldn't get into a discourse or a dialogue with the devil as Eve did. What'd she do? Well, she didn't. She started to take at the word. Well, God said we shall not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. Neither shall we touch it. Uh-oh. She's adding to the word of God, lest we die. What'd the devil go? Aha! She's not trusting in the word of God alone. Strikes it from her hand. She drops the sword and he slays her, saying, you shall not die. And she eats and she is slain. So was Adam, not keeping the word of God. So what's the battle about, friends? Whenever the evil one comes against us Christians, this is the only thing it's about. Did God really say? We've got to say yes and use the word of God alone. Don't use anything else. Only the word of God will do in fighting the devil. How do we know this? Well, check out the best prince ever to defeat the devil. That's Jesus. Matthew chapter 4. The devil comes against him too, just like he did against Eve in the wilderness amongst the creatures to tempt Jesus, like he did with Eve. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus answered what? It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, quoting Deuteronomy. He quotes only the scriptures, no discussions. I'm not talking with you, devil. I'm not discoursing, even the Lord himself. It is written. Again, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from this pinnacle of this temple. Again, it is written, Jesus says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, a third time, to the highest mountain, the devil took him and showed him all the kingdom of the world. I'll give you all of this if you'll bow down and worship me. Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Whack, whack, whack. And down goes the devil, and the devil left him, running away, you could say, bleeding, wounded, crying like a baby, and behold, the angels of God came and ministered to Jesus. He shows us there exactly how you have to fight. Martin Luther said, if you're going up against the devil, never go against him with anything but the word of God. If you go with the word of God and your own reason, you're done for. The one thing that the dragon is afraid of is God's sword, Excalibur, that slays the dragon, the word of God alone on the battlefield. At that alone, the devil trembles. So, how more specifically does the devil attack Christians to take the word of God from us, to get us to doubt it? That we lay down God's sword and he strikes us with his own, dead. Well, watch this. The battle for us Christians against the evil one mostly takes place where? In our minds, inside our heads, the internal dialogues. Do you guys have words going through your minds all day long? Some of them God puts there, some of them you put there, some of them the devil puts there. Don't you hear conversations, or am I the only crazy person up here? Don't you have conversations all day long inside of your head? Well, the devil attacks our minds. He's throwing poisonous words into our heads. The Bible says he's the devil, which in Greek is diabolos, which means slanderer. It's what his name is, that he speaks only evil of you all day, continually, and falsely so, and he's a discourager. Do you ever hear in your minds things like, well, let me say this. He won't say, you're no good, you're a loser. He doesn't say that. He says, I'm no good, I'm a loser. And you go, I'm no good, I'm a loser. See, he uses the first person and he throws ideas in there. I'm all alone in life. I'm all alone in life. I'm abandoned. I'm abandoned. I'm weak. I'm weak. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. Oh, no. I should kill myself. I should kill myself. You know, he puts thoughts into our minds in the first person, making us think that we are saying those things in order to destroy us. What are you going to do? First thing, realize a lot of those thoughts in your mind are not from you at all. You got to say, I'm not going to be tricked by that. That's not me talking. I would never say that to myself. That's the devil. He's trying to dupe me. He's trying to trick me. I'm not going to lose. I'm going to win this. And how do you win it? You got to take out the word of God against those thoughts and the word of God declared alone on the battlefield. He whispers in your ears, you're all alone. No, I'm not. It is written, I'm with you always to the close of the age, Matthew 28. You are forsaken by God. No, I'm not. Hebrews 13. I'll never leave you. No, forsake you. You are abandoned by God, or you're a loser, or you're unloved. No, Jeremiah says, I've loved you with an everlasting love, God says. You're weak. You're feeble. All right, I'll give you that one. But when I'm weak, then I'm strong, for his grace is made perfect in my weakness. 2 Corinthians 12 says, and I can do all things in him who strengthens me. You see, you take the word of God and just throw it back at him. And you got to keep hitting because the devil doesn't give up. He tries to outlast you. He'll come back again like he did with Jesus. 3 times the devil tempted Jesus, and he might tempt you 10,000 times. You got to keep hitting him until he runs away again, bleeding with his tail between his legs. He's a sore loser, but he's a defeated enemy. So keep hitting him. Don't think that this sermon's just like, oh, nice sermon, let's go out for lunch, right? No, you got to put it into practice. This is a real fight. Take up the word, trust your Excalibur, it's God's own sword. Be courageous, you're going to win. You got to fight, though. Secondly, then, the devil comes against us sometimes with outward calamities. He strikes you with troubles, hinders you at every turn, throws up roadblocks, but then whispers again in your mind, see, God doesn't love you. You must not even be a Christian. God would never let this happen to you if you were saved. Surely you should just give up because you're doomed. God doesn't love you. Isn't that what he did with Job? Right? The devil came in and destroyed him outwardly, his property, his home, his goods, his livestock, his money. He killed his children, then struck Job's body with sicknesses and diseases. What did Job start to do? Oh, the Almighty is against me. He's shot his arrows into me. Was that true? No, that was the devil's thoughts into his mind, really, because God was for Job, rooting for his victory. But Job started to lose his faith and get weak. You know, this year I've had some troubles, and the thought has occurred into my mind, at least whispered from the sidelines in the dark places into my mind. Well, Leslie, Greg, you lost your home flooded, then your car died, and then your wife went several times to the emergency room. Is God really for you? Surely all this wouldn't happen to you if he were on your side. Are you really okay with him? And I'm like, am I really okay with you, God? I'm like, wait a second. That's not what the Bible says. I'm going to go with Paul, Romans 5, which says, I know that I rejoice in my sufferings, knowing that suffering is producing in me endurance. Endurance, character. Character is producing in me hope. A hope that won't disappoint me. Be gone, devil. God, this I know, that God is for me. And God, whose word I praise, I'll trust and not be afraid. What can man do to me? So you got to answer these things with the word of God, is my point. Job eventually did, and he says, you know, I can't even see God. I look this way, that way, I can't find him. But he knows the way I take, said Job. And when he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And devil, when God has tried me and he's done with this, I'm going to come forth as gold too. Be gone. And yes, strike him with the sword. When calamities don't avail against us, the devil then comes in to whisper with an alluring voice, saying, aren't you saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from works? Then why are you working so hard? Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Play around with sin a little bit. It's okay. It's all of grace anyway. What do you say? No, the next line is, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, devil, that I should walk in them. Be gone. For we share in Christ if only we hold our first confidence firm to the end. And you strike him, and he has to run away. Then he sees that you're going to be very serious about your faith and walk strongly and closely with Christ. So he says, okay, you want to do that? Well, I'm also called the accuser of their brethren, who accuses them day and night before God. He won't tell you that. But he puts thoughts into our minds saying, you want to walk closer with God? But you haven't. You've sinned here. Think of that wrongdoing. Think of this bad word that you had in your mind. You had a blasphemous thought, didn't you? Even though he put it there. And when he tempts you and he says, you're not even a Christian because look at all your sins. Martin Luther had that problem when the devil attacked him and he said, yeah, but haven't you forgotten a sin or two? Devil, I have a lot more than you just listed, but you also, I will remind you that I have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who has come and all my sins are on him. I direct you to him, for on his shoulders, not on mine, are all my sins and iniquities and those of the whole world. God so loved the world, he gave his son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So I'm not listening to that, devil. I'm justified by his grace as a free gift through the redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an expiation by his blood to be received by faith. So you fight with the gospel and say, I am saved because Christ has called me his own and I call him now my own. And I'm sure, devil, now that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. Whack! Exactly. Thank you for the sound effect. And off goes the devil, sword struck from his hands. So in conclusion then today, friends, let's keep fighting. It's the way for every Christian. We all got to do it while we're going through this world. But Martin Luther wrote, and we sang, though hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us, we tremble not, unmoved we stand. They cannot overpower us. Let this world's tyrant rage. In battle we'll engage. His might is doomed to fail. God's judgment must prevail. One little word shall fell him. Indeed, this I know, that God is for me. And I trust without a fear. What can man do to me? Or the devil, for that matter? For he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. And at the end of your fight, you're going to be able to smile and say, look, I've fought the good fight now. I've finished the race and kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called How the Devil Wages War Against Christians and How to Fight Back, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, just south and across from the City Hall building. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.